Today we are speaking our last point on our three-part sermon series, Lessons from the Life of Joseph. Our theme today is the inevitable results. And we're going to summarize the last two weeks before we enter into this one. But let us read Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. One more time, I just want to give you a little context. If you've been following us the last 3 weeks, you may know where we are. If you know the story, you may know where you are. But Joseph has now been separated from his family because he was sold over 20 years. He had not seen his siblings or his father or anybody from his home for over 20 years. They have a reconciliation. They have a time together. And Joseph's brothers thought that he would kill them or incarcerate them because of what they had done to him. But when he finally reveals himself to them, he says these words to them: "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Our theme today is the inevitable results. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would bring this teaching close to our hearts this morning as we close up this sermon series, Lord, that you would remind us, O Lord, that throughout our faithfulness, throughout our journey, you, Lord God, will honor and bless us and keep us, O God, as long as, Lord, we keep you first. We ask, Father, that you would allow this word to resonate with us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the inevitable pit. You know the story already. We've been hammering the story pretty good. But Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was put in a pit. And the pit was the thing that began it all for him to get him to the palace. And in the pit, we talked about three things that happened. Change began to happen within Joseph. Why? Because we believe that in his heart there was some pride, there was some immatureness, and God was taking him to the palace, and he needed to make some changes within him, within his heart also. The pit was there because it also was a form of transitioning. From the pit, he was transitioned to Potiphar's house, transitioned to jail, transitioned to the palace. So the pit was a place of transition, and the pit was a place of preparation, where the schooling that God wanted to bring into Joseph's life would never have happened in Jacob's household. So in the pit began a preparation that would set him up to work in the palace. Many of us at times, we go through pits in our lives, hardships. We talked about pits being a place of betrayal, of hardship, of trial, of insecurities, of loneliness, isolation, right? So many of us go through pits in our lives and we don't understand why. And we talked about God maybe making some changes within us, revealing some things that need to be exposed in our life. We talked about him transitioning our mentality, transitioning our way of thinking, at times transitioning us physically, spiritually, and other things. We also talked about positioning us in the place, or preparing us for the thing that he has for us. At times we're not ready yet, and God allows things in our lives to get us ready for the very things that he wants to do in our lives. So that was our first message 2 weeks ago. Last week we talked about the inevitable journey, right? So we talked about Joseph's life. Now he's in this journey from the pit to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to jail, from jail to palace, right? And there was this journey, and we looked at his life and we said, there's some things in his life that will resonate with us, that we can learn from. One, temptation is every day. And we talked about Joseph being tempted every day by Potiphar's wife. And we talked about what temptation means and how that affects us. And how when temptation gives birth, it becomes death to us, spiritual death to us. And we talked about how to overcome temptation, etc. Then we talked about, in this journey, we will experience the provision of God. In every place of Joseph's life, the Bible says that, and God was with him. The provision of God. And God gave him what he needed for every task at hand. And then we also talked about, in the journey, we'll have highs and lows. In God's will, in God's way, we'll have highs and lows. And we talked about Joseph's highs, Potiphar's house, palace, Joseph's lows, cistern, and jail. And how do we act in highs and lows? And how do we respond? And we talked about Joseph being unchanging in highs and lows, even when he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife in a foreign land that served foreign gods. He still remembered the God of his father, and he tells Potiphar's wife, "How can I sin against you? How can I sin against God?" Right? Understanding that although he had been away from his father's house for many years, he still did not forget God's ways, right? So in highs and lows, we are still to be faithful to what God has called us to. So we understand that the cisterns are part of our lives. We understand that the journey is part of our life. And we're finishing this week with the inevitable results. Now, I think it's important that I mention this, because when I mention the results, they're really good things. And many of us are going to say, but I'm not living those results. Could it be because we haven't handled the cistern well and we haven't handled our journey well is why we're not living the results that we should be living? And I want to challenge you this morning, because you may be in a cistern in your life. You are in the journey in your life. And how do you handle that will allow us to see God's blessings, would allow us to see the results that God has for us. So I'll bring that back again at the conclusion of our sermon. But I remind you this morning that how we handle the pit and the journey is what allows us to enjoy the results. And the church says. So let us pick up a little bit here. Let's talk a little bit more about Joseph. So we know that Joseph was in Potiphar's house, tempted. He did not fall to temptation, falsely accused. He now lands in jail, right? He now lands in jail. And the story of Joseph is found in Genesis chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50. So he now lands in jail. He's in jail for years. And while he's in jail, the king is unhappy with his baker. The Pharaoh is unhappy with his baker and with his cupbearer. So there was two people close to the king. And the king was unhappy with them. And he sends them to jail. Being incarcerated, Joseph was put to lead those that had been incarcerated, although he was incarcerated himself. And these two men fall under his leadership. They have dreams, and these dreams are messing with them. And they come to Joseph, and Joseph reveals to them their dreams. The baker, he tells them, in 3 days, your life will be taken from you. And to the cupbearer, he says, in 3 days, you will be restored to the palace house. It happened just like that. On the way out, Joseph tells the cupbearer, hey, don't forget about me. Well, he goes to the palace, and the Bible says that he forgot about Joseph. And Joseph was still in jail for years after that, right? And then one day, the Pharaoh has a dream. And he has a dream of seven fatted cows and seven skinny cows, and that the seven skinny cows devoured the seven fatted cows. And he also has another dream similar to that same dream. And he is perplexed because of the dreams. He doesn't understand them. And he asks for his people there to help him out. And no one can. But the cupbearer says, when I was in jail, I remembered of a man, a Hebrew man, that interpreted my dreams. And he came out exactly the way he said. So the Pharaoh says, go get me that man. That man is Joseph, comes before him. And he tells the Pharaoh the dream. And he says, the next 7 years will be 7 years of abundance. Abundance like Egypt has never seen before. After those 7 years, there'll be 7 years of great famine. The famine would be so great that the 7 years of abundance will never be remembered. And he tells them, I recommend that you put an administrator above all these things to really harvest the 7 years of abundance well, so that you're ready for the famine. The king says, never have I seen such wisdom in a man. And he says, surely you are a man of God. And he says, I'll put you in front of this kingdom. You'll be number two in all of Egypt. And your responsibility will be to administer the 7 years of abundance and the 7 years of famine. It happens just like that. Into the second year of famine, the famine was so great. In the second year of the famine, Jacob, Joseph's father, tells his 11 brothers, head over to Egypt because we hear that they have grain. Joseph had done a good job maintaining the grain. Read these stories. It's a phenomenal story. And he tells them, hey, I hear that in Egypt there's grain, go. And he sends the 11 brothers. Joseph sees them, but Joseph does not reveal himself to them right away. And they have this dialogue and in this encounter, and Joseph sends them away but keeps one. I can't get into it all today. I want to encourage you to read it. It's heart moving as you read the story. Eventually, they all come back. Joseph reveals himself to his brother, and they are afraid. But that's the verses that we read. Joseph says, don't worry. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. Why? So that there would be results. So that the land, so that the people of the land would be saved. So there would be results. Times we go through things in our life and we don't understand why the pit, why the journey. And it's because God is looking to get a result that we could never see with our own eyes. And he says, don't worry. That's why I want to tell you, sometimes you go through hardships in your life and you don't understand why. You stay faithful because what the world means for evil, God will turn it for good. And you will see the results that God has for you and for your family. Well, after two trips of going back and forth, eventually Jacob, his 11 brothers, and their whole families come. I believe it was 70 and all together. They come and they are now part of Egypt. The Pharaoh tells Joseph, hey, give them the best of the land. And they go to Goshen and they have the best of the land there. And for 400 years, the Hebrew people live in Egypt after that until the time of Moses. It's a great story. Over the last few weeks, I've just been rereading it, and every time I read it, I'm emotional. As you get older, I think you get a little more emotional, right? So especially when it has to do with fathers and children, we're a mess. We're a mess, right? So the Lord speaks to us, though, and reminds us that if we understand the cistern, the pit, and we understand the journey, we'll be able to enjoy the results. Four things I want to share with you that we can learn from the life of Joseph. Four quick things. We won't be long today. Four results. The first result is that God will use you. If you understand the pit and you understand the journey and you stay on track in the midst of these things, God will use you. When we look at Joseph's life, he went through some stuff. He went through the pit, to Pharaoh's house, through jail. Not easy times. And in the journey, for a period of 13 years before he gets to Egypt, different places, but there, God was not only with him, but God uses him. God uses him to interpret dreams. God uses him to lead Egypt through a time of prosperity and a time of famine. God uses him as an instrument to save all of Egypt and the surrounding cities. God uses him to rescue his own family. God uses him to make sure that his father would be buried once again in the land of Canaan. And that's at the end of the story. You'll read that. So God uses Joseph in a beautiful way to save himself, to save his family, to save Egypt and the surrounding cities, but also to save the promise given to Abraham that the descendants, that the blessing, the Messiah would come through the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God uses Joseph to maintain the promise by sending the Hebrew people into Egypt. I want to let you know that when you understand the cistern and you understand the journey, you will enjoy the results. God's blessing, and God's blessing begins that God will use you. You are exactly where God wants you to be. If you've understood this process, you are exactly where God wants you to be. I want to tell you today that you're in the job that God has for you. And you're in the church that God has for you. You're in the family that God has for you. And you're in the community that God has for you. And why? Because God wants to use you there. We understand that not everything is favorable. In being incarcerated was not favorable for Joseph. Being a slave in Potiphar's house wasn't always favorable. Being tempted was not favorable. It wasn't an easy time. But in those places, God used him. And I want to tell you that maybe you find yourself and you're not in a favorable place, or you're not in a place of great enjoyment. But I want to let you know that even there, God wants to use you. I want to remind you this morning that there is a result of faithfulness of the believer in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of your hardship, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of time of famine. I want to let you know that if you understand the process of it all, the result is that you will be an instrument for God. And at the end, he will get the glory. So your circumstance is not one to run from, but it's one to persevere through and to allow the hand of God to lead you in the midst of that circumstance where the result will be one of blessing, where God gets the glory. Because ultimately, we're just instruments of God. He just uses us for his will, uses us to get a sound out of us, uses us to bring harmony to something that at times we're not even aware of. Why? Because we're slaves to him and he is our master. So I tell you, that's why right where you are exactly where God wants you to be. So we are drawn to this, to love God, to love the circumstance, understanding that God is in the midst of this. And as we lift Jesus up higher, the scripture says that he will draw all men unto him. As we preach the gospel, others will be saved. As we persevere through hard times, we will see that God will be faithful. We will see the ministry of reconciliation becoming a reality for us. That means that God will use us to bring people to come to know him. We'll understand this. That's why I tell you today, no matter where you are in your circumstance, where you are in your journey, be ready. Be ready for this. Let God use you. Don't shy back from it. But know that there is a special anointing upon your life that God has allowed you. He's used you as an instrument and allowed you to go through cisterns, through pits in your life, and allowed you to go to journey to through a journey because he is positioning you at the right place, at the right time, for the right circumstance to see a result that you can never imagine with your own carnal eyes. Right? But he does that. So be ready. Let God use you. There is an anointing upon you, a special anointing for this season and this time. Be ready for what God wants to do in your ministry. That's why I tell our Sunday school teachers, you be the best Sunday school teachers that you're called to be. And you serve our children in the best way that you can. In your jobs where you are, be ready for God to use you in your gifting. If you're a gifted administrator, be ready for God to use you. You're a gifted teacher. You're generous. You have a servant's heart. Know that there is a result that God wants to see in your life. Let God use you in your family. You be the instrument of reconciliation in your family. You be the instrument of drawing people together, of bringing the spirit of harmony and bringing the spirit of peace. You be the instrument to know that God is using you there. That's the result of this. You be the instrument in your community to draw peace and bring smiles to people and let people see Christ in your life. There is a result that God has for each and every one of us in the midst of our faithfulness. And I know that the cistern in the pit is not an easy place. And the journey has its highs and lows. But to think that the sovereign God, in his sovereignty, is using you and using me and transitioning us and positioning us, that there would be a result that would give him the glory, that should shake us to our core and say, God wants to use me for this. To him be the glory. I want to tell you this morning that there is a result for those that understand the process. And it's a result that God always uses us. That's why you visit people in the hospital. Pastor Minor and I went to go visit Sister Rosalba in the hospital a week and a half ago. And we walk into her room and she's ministering to a young couple and telling them how they need Jesus. This poor lady is in a bed, a tube going down her nose, and she's like, ustedes necesitan a Cristo. And we're like, we just kind of pull back and say, just let God do what he wants to do here, right? Not complaining about she had not had water for 5 days because the tube did not let her drink. No, she's looking for the opportunity for a result that she never expected with her own eyes. But God orchestrated it and allowed a pit in her life so that he can receive the glory. And the church says, the result is that God will use us. Number two, the result, God will give you what you need for the task. God will give you what you need for the task. That's the result. I love looking at Joseph's life. He leaves his father's house, this young, arrogant, obnoxious, prideful boy. That's the reality. You read the story. He leaves his father's house, this young, arrogant, prideful boy. And in the palace, he's this incredible leader. Incredible leader. How did that happen? You see, the pit and the pit and the journey prepared him for the palace. See, God will give you what you need for the task. That's the result. You know, you will get the wisdom that you need. You know, when we look at Joseph, he got the wisdom that he needed, the gift of leadership that he needed, the administration that he needed, discernment, how to deal with the Egyptians. He was a Hebrew man, second in charge of all of Egypt. Culturally, that is crazy challenge. The amount of jealousy that he must have dealt with, the amount of attacks he must have dealt with, right? But God gave him the sermon to the point where that when his family comes, he tells his family how to handle the Egyptians. Great discernment. 13 years ago, he had none of that. No wisdom. He had no discernment, none of that. The process allowed him. But after the pit, after the journey, he understood, he grew. God even gave him a vision how to handle Egypt, how to handle the 7 years of prosperity. He did not have a master's degree in administration. God gave him the all that he needed, the wisdom and the intellect that he needed, the gifting that he needed to lead Egypt. God gave him the vision to lead Egypt. God gave him the wisdom to appoint leaders. And God gave him the inner strength to serve and the inner strength to forgive his brothers. God gave him those things. That was his result. He learned from his life experience. He learned that God had led him through the pit and led him through his journey. And he learned that he received what he needed for the task at hand. I want to tell you that the inevitable result to allowing God to lead us is that God will give us everything that we need for the task. He will give us everything that we need. Our job is to persevere through the pit, to understand the journey. And as we do that, God will give us everything that we need for the task at hand. He will give you what you need to handle leaders and leadership. He will give you the wisdom that you need to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong and how to handle circumstances that you never thought you would have to handle. And now they are before you, and you'll know exactly how to handle 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. You in your life, I tell you today that in the good times of your life, you will know how to handle the good times of your life. You will know how to handle the prosperity. You will know how to handle the good health. You will know how to handle the good things of your life. And when famine comes, you will also know how to handle them. And you will also know how to handle sickness. And you will also know how to handle hardships and financial pressures and conflict within the home. And you will also know how to handle betrayal. And you will also know how to handle things that bring hurt to our heart because you've handled the pit well. And you've handled the journey well. And God will give you everything that you need in your time of trial. He will give you what you need. It's the result. God does not forsake us in our faithfulness. He gives us what we need in our circumstances to help us honor him with our lives. It's not so that we can be all this wonderful Christian. No, no. It's because we become a reflection of him, and he gives us what we need so that we can honor him with our lives. And that's why when you did not expect it, you came out well, with flying colors. You came out saying, wow, this was good. The Lord helped us because you were faithful. I can tell you many stories of pastoral ministry in these last 11 and a half years of times when we entered this scare. My wife and I entered into this scared. Being an associate pastor of the church was a sweet gig. You know, anytime things got too hard, we just shifted them over to the pastor. And when we started to lead, it was a scary season for us. And the Lord has given us everything that we need for the task at hand. I only share that with you to tell you that the Lord will give you everything that you need for the task at hand. That's the result of faithfulness. Don't misunderstand the pit and the journey as the absence of God. Know that in that process, God is preparing you that you will have everything that you need to make sure that you honor him with your life. And you will see good results in the good season and in the bad season. Through this time, you will see God's strength in your life, inner strength to do what is right, inner strength to persevere. You will see God's wisdom to make good decisions. You will have discernment to know what is right and what is wrong. There has been season in our lives where we go, wait a minute, although in the natural it seems okay, my spirit is telling me this is not okay. And we react and we say, no, I'm gonna submit to what the Spirit is putting in our hearts. And then we say, wow, now we know why the Spirit had shaken us in our core this way, because although it looked like it was going to be okay, it really wasn't. Well, there's a spirit of discernment that comes upon us. God will give that to us. Spiritual gifting to do the things that he's called us to do. Understanding to understand the things that we don't. I want to let you know that the result is God will give you everything that you need for the task at hand. The scriptures remind us that God's power is upon us. His divine power is upon us and will give us everything that we need for a godly life through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Christ, the one that we've been called to. So maybe you're here today and you're in a process in your life of the pit and the journey and those things we've been talking about. Be faithful. It's not a time to surrender. It's not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time to give up. No, it's a time to be faithful. You don't like the circumstance. I understand that those are lows in our life. And you hang on because the result is that God will give you everything that you need for the task at hand. And the church says, number three, all people will see God in your life. That's a result. I love Genesis chapter 41. The Pharaoh says this about Joseph. Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Oh, I love that. I love that when God speaks of Daniel, he tells him, I have Daniel in high esteem. That God would say that of you and me. I have him in high esteem. That God will say that of us, that my spirit lives in them, right? So I love that he shows, and the Pharaoh says, have I seen a man like this? That God's spirit dwells in him. The Egyptians believed in many gods, but Pharaoh is saying that he has never seen a man like Joseph where the real God dwells in him. This is a result. I love this. I want to remind you that as you go through your pits and journeys in life, and as you're dealing with certain things in your life, people will see God in you. You are the most powerful message that can be preached in this world. It's not this altar. It's not sermons from altars like these. No, you are. I am, as we live and walk this world, where people can say, truly the Spirit of God dwells in him. Truly the Spirit of God dwells in her. Where the people can say, there's something different. Listen, they may not come to love Jesus like you love Jesus. They may not come to serve God like you serve God. They may not come to church when you invite them, but it would be inevitable in their eyes that God dwells in your life. And in their time of need, when they need advice, they're going to the person that they see God in their life. In their time of hardship, when they need somebody to come to and talk to, and they're going to come to you. When others betray them, they will remember that there's somebody faithful in their lives, and that is you. Why? Because they see God in your life. That's why your bosses trust you. That's why those around you honor you. That's why those that live close by you recognize there's something special about you. Why? Because when you were in the pit, you did not abandon or forsake God. You did not curse God. No. When you were in the pit, you understood that that was a process. In your journey of temptation, you didn't say, oh God, I'm out of here. No, you persevered and you ran from temptation. You understood in your highs and your lows that God was in the midst of those places. You understood in time of transition and preparation, hardships, God was there, and the world sees it, and the people see it, and those around you at your job, in your family, in your community, they see it, and I want you to know that it's pleasing to God. And that is the most effective result that we can have in this world. Because it would be useless for me to preach a sermon up here that may be a great 3-point sermon, but when you look at my life, you would say, he's a hypocritical. It's a useless sermon. But it's a powerful sermon that as we walk this world, that people say, there's something special about that person. I've seen that person struggle in sickness and they don't change. I've seen that person lose their job and they don't change. I've seen that person go through some things with their children and they don't change. I've seen that person be betrayed by their spouse and they don't change. God's spirit lives in them. That's a result of being faithful in all seasons. And I don't know if that means anything to you, but when somebody says, you resemble Jesus, that brings me to my knees. Brings me to my knees. That somebody, that our spouse or our children will look at us and say, I see Jesus in your life. That our co-workers will look at us and say, I see Christ in your life.
That our neighbors would say, I see something special about your family. That would mean something to you. That it should draw us to our knees and say, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. But I have seen the Lord. But I have seen the Lord. It's the result of faithfulness. And the church says, our last point this morning, and we're closing it up, that you will be a blessing to your family. That's the result. And I bring this point as we see it in the life of Joseph. Joseph went through a whole lot, and he was a blessing to his family. He saved his brothers, his fathers. He saved their extended family, their children. You know, God used Joseph, and it was a blessing to his family. You know, they would have died if not for Joseph. They would have died of famine, of hunger. But Joseph was able to live with his father for the last 17 years of his father's life. He was able to have that. If we teach our children that we will have all, that if we teach our children that in the pit and in the journeys, if we stay faithful, our children will come to know a sovereign God, a faithful God, a God that supplies, a God that is good, a God that will care for us. And as they grow older, they will love and serve the same God that we serve. It will be a blessing. I want to let you know that if you are faithful, through the process, your children will come to know and love God. I say this with sadness in my heart because I've been in church for decades now. I've seen families serve the Lord and then for a season not serve the Lord. And then when they come back, they're serving God again, but their children don't know the same God that they knew at their youth. Because they have been out for 7 years. They've been out for 10 years. And then, so they come back with the same passion that they had when they were teenagers or in their early 20s, and they're now in their 30s, and they're bringing their 10-year-old children with them now, their 12-year-old children with them now. And they have the same passion that they had when they left, because it's what they know, but their children don't have it. Oh, that shakes me to my core. Their children don't have it. Because they didn't instill it in their children. And now when their children are walking in ways that they're saying, oh no, my family needs God, but we haven't instilled it. And yes, we're waiting for a miracle and we're waiting for God to come and shake them and speak to them. But we have failed them because in our time of pit and in our journey time, we were not faithful. We were not faithful. And now we're trying to have them, and then they say things like, but my children don't love God like we did. And my children don't want to be like we did. It's because we didn't handle the pit well. It's because we didn't handle the journey well. And we're not seeing the results that we should have seen, which is our families being blessed. I don't say this to bring any deep conviction to anyone. I say this to remind us of the importance of living right through the pit and through the journey. Because our children observe us through all seasons. And the truth is that if we're just religious, if we're just showing it, at home we're not authentic. The truth is that when they grow of an age, they will only come to know what they have seen at home. Church is not influential enough to make those deep-rooted changes in their life. We're just not. I wish that we were, but we're just Sunday service and Friday Royal Rangers and Friday's missionettes and Friday's outbreak. And it's just not enough. What they hear and learn in church must be ratified in their home. And if it's not, and then it just becomes law. And when I can break the law, I will. Because I live for myself. So when I can break the law, I will. But I want to tell you today that if you're faithful through the pit and you're faithful through the journey, I want to tell you that the result will be that you and your family will be saved. God has set aside Goshen for you. God has set aside a place of blessing for you and all that is yours. For you. And sometimes the process is hard. It's hard. It's a hard process. And we don't understand why God allows us to go through the things, and the pit has been so devastating to us. And the lows seem more than the highs. But I want to tell you of the inevitable results. The inevitable results are that if you persevere through it,
you will see God's hand of blessing always, right? God will always be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You will always have what you need. You will always reflect the image of God, and always remember that your family will be blessed as well. That's the results. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand as we bring closure this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, man, God is really ministering to me. God, I'm going through a pit in my life. Remember what the pit is about. Remember, it's something God wants to change within us, prepare us for, transition us. It's not easy. Persevere through it. Because you're going through a journey, you know, and in this journey, you're going to be tempted. No one has a free ride. Temptation is every day we talked about, right? But here you will experience God's provision, and you will have highs and lows. But I remind you that if you handle it well, remember I talked about handling it well, you gotta handle this well. Because if you handle it well, God will use you. He'll use you. If you handle it well, He will give you everything you need for the task at hand. Wisdom, inner strength, discernment, knowledge, positioning. He will give you everything you need for the task at hand. There'll be no ministry that you can't handle. There'll be no trial you can't persevere through. Nope. There's no challenge that you would have to run from. He will give you everything you need for the task at hand. The people will see Jesus in your life. I don't know if that means anything to you. It should mean everything to us. We've been made in the image of God, the Imago Dei, and that we can draw back to that. Oh, that should resonate with us. That should move us to say, I want to look like Christ. And it will be a blessing, not just to you, but to all that you love, to your family and all that you love. So Jesus, He saves us for this. I always like to finish off with Christ. He saves us for this. He saves us for eternity, but that we can begin to receive our inheritance here on earth. That's the promise for us. Yes, in this world you will have trouble, but I love that the scripture says, well, take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. In other words, no matter what you're going through, I already have dominion over it. I already have victory over it. My sovereignty rules over it. No matter what you're going through, I have overcome the world. There's no obstacle that I can't handle. There's no circumstance I can't lead you through. No, I will care for you even to the time that your body is placed in the ground. I will not abandon the soul to the ground, is what scripture teaches us. So today I remind you, if you are far from God, today is the day of salvation. Draw near to Him. Draw near to God. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no one that is so far from God that God can't reach them. There is no one that is so lost or so broken or so in sin that God can rescue them. No one, no one. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, I'm tired of this life that I'm living. I want good results. I want good results. I'm tired of living negative results. I'm tired of being addicted. I'm tired of being lost. I'm tired of being broken. I'm tired of being unsuccessful. I want good results. Handle the pit well. Live the journey right. Why? Because your Savior is Jesus, and He has overcome the world. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I'm tired of negative results. God is speaking to you. It's time to start handling things in a way that pleases Him. A way that pleases Him. And He will get the glory and you will get the blessings. He gets the glory and you get the blessings.
Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word, O Lord, for it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us and guides us every single day, O Lord. Father, we pray, Lord God, that as your teaching ministers to us, that we would open our hearts to hear what you have to say, O God. That we open our hearts to hear what you have to say. That we would step out on faith and trust you, Lord. For you have overcome the world. Father, if there's someone here today that is far from you and tired of negative results, that today would be the day of salvation, oh God, I pray. Father, I pray that your word would, that our Sunday would change our Monday. That it would not just be another day, but it would change our Monday, we pray. In Jesus' name, and the church says, maybe you're here today and you're far from Christ. Today's the day of salvation. As we sing this next song, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and we want to pray with you. Be valiant. Be brave. You need a change in your life. Jesus is the answer. Come. And we want to pray a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith that brings you to confession and repentance. And it will draw you closer to God. And maybe you're part of the church and you feel like God is speaking to me and I would like prayer to help me apply the teaching to my life. The altar is also open for you this morning as well. You are also invited. God bless you and God keep you. Hallelujah.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.